Dr. Gwen Show, where you come to be inspired, educated, and empowered to live a passionate and effective life on purpose. The number one podcast show for inspiring women. This is the podcast where we support you in living your best life ever, even while raising happy, healthy kids. Tired of feeling stuck in a rut with nowhere to turn for resources and advice? We can help. Achieve your best life ever by listening to our podcast show. Introducing the woman who believes it's possible to be totally fulfilled in all circumstances of life, the host of the Dr. Gwen Show, the Dr. Gwen.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dr. Gwen Show. Today we have Charles Nguyen. And if you recall, Charles was here with us a few days ago discussing planning and credit. And we welcome Charles back to our show today. We are going to be talking about college planning and funding. I'm sure that the information that will be shared with you will be very enlightening and will allow you to appropriately plan for your kids' future. So, Charles, thank you for joining us, and thanks for your generosity in coming back to join us on the Dr. Gwen Show.
Well, thank you for having me here. I'm really excited about sharing great information to help family and their children.
Great. So the first question I have for you, Charles, is, you know, there are mothers who have young children. Some of them may already have started school. Some may not have. Some of them may be in high school. So they're on different levels of the spectrum in terms of planning and preparation for college. And I know the advice that you give to parents, the children who are older, may not necessarily be the same advice you give for parents with children that are younger. But let's start out here first. When is the best time to start planning for college?
Now. Yeah, I mean, that's
okay.
Just, go ahead.
Now meaning at what stage of the child's life?
Okay. Well, like you say, when you have different children, you know, different age groups, so the thing is about planning, and the best thing is now. I think the most common mistake that family make is that they pretty much wait until the student become a junior or senior in high school to actually really plan it. And by that time, you know, you could do it, but you don't get, like, the maximum benefit, right? So there's various things that you can do. So, for example, you know, we have a program. We actually work with children as young as sixth grade. But there's other things, like as soon as the child born, you can put money away for college funding, because over time that really build up and really help the student. And one of the best way to put away money for college, for example, is put in some type of universal life insurance policy. The reason for that is that, you know, one of the common mistakes is that people put in one of those college plans. Right. The problem with that is that when the child become 18 and let's say ready to prepare for college, that college funding plan actually count against the financial aid available for the student. However, if you have life insurance and stuff and you can borrow against it, that doesn't count toward the funding for you know, the expected family contribution for college.
Hmm.
So that's one of the secrets that, yes.
Yeah. Never heard that, of that one before, and that sounds very interesting and certainly would be of interest to parents who are planning for their children's college education. So you're saying a universal life insurance policy is somewhat better than the other plans that are available, the college plans where parents can start saving over a period of time to put that money away for college. And that's so simply because those plans will count against their eligibility for FERS financial aid, whereas with the universal life insurance policy, they can actually borrow the money against the policy, and that doesn't count?
Correct. Because that's what I mean, this is what I find out is that, you know, when people fill out the financial aid forms, right, you have to, the financial aid have to list out the different assets and liability. So when you have, like, saving, you have a lot of equity in the home, you have mutual fund, college saving plan, you have all those count as assets that can be used toward college, right? So when you have a life insurance, you have a annuity, it doesn't really count toward it, you know, because it's not listed in there, so it doesn't count toward it. So you can get more financial aid eligibility versus listing, you know, those assets. So part of, you know, I do college planning, so part of what we do is, like I say, if people plan ahead of time, we can actually sit down and structure the asset and plan accordingly so the maximum position to get the maximum aid for the children and for the family.
Okay. Sounds great. Now, speaking about the different assets that will count towards the financial eligibility, what are some of the different ways that parents are able to fund their child's college education?
Well, I find out the reason why I started the college planning actually a couple of years ago and out of necessity, because he started going up to me and asking about, because it's kind of something urgent. This is what I realized something. When I talk about financial, retirement planning, people tend to procrastinate. When I talk about debt, people don't want to discuss about, you know, their shame about their debt issue. But when it comes to college planning, it seems urgent, because if they don't deal with it, here's the three things going to happen. Typically, the family either fund out of their retirement plan, they have to get more money out of their mortgage and get more into debt, or the student incur a bunch of student loan debt. So I found out, oh my God, you know, those are the three options. So I found out that I did research. So it took me a couple of years to find research, to do the research, and I found an organization that helped family get free money for college. So I find out that's one of the way, the best way to fund college is get scholarship and endowment fund from the college itself, so the student doesn't have to incur that much student loan debt and the family don't have to take that much money out of their own account. Sure.
So now, speaking about funding, there are parents who run the entire gamut of funding and eligibility in terms of their income. There are some parents who make a little and some make a lot. And we were somewhere, not a lot, but towards the upper end, where they were thinking that our kids wouldn't qualify for some of the funding that were available at the universities because of what we made. So how do you address that in terms of income, especially for the parents who may feel like on paper it looks like they're making more money and so consequently funding is not available to them and their children? And also, let's address in that question the parents who may be at the lower end and what types of funding are also available to them.
Yes. That's a great point that you brought up. One of the biggest misconceptions people believe is that financial aid is only for low-income family and low asset. But in the reality, that there are actually two types of financial aid. Right? The typical financial aid that people refer to is called federal aid, and federal aid have a certain income limit. It's normally it's $55,000 or less in the household. So unless you make less than 55,000, which is, you know, in a certain area, I mean, in certain neighborhood, most families make more than that, so they don't think even they qualify, so they don't even apply it. They don't even apply at all. What they don't realize is that the federal aid is only constitute only 5% of the money available out there. The other 95% of the money available out there actually come from the college itself, and it's actually not need-based. It's actually based on the student merits, based on the accomplishment, career goal. So those are the things that this family can qualify for. And, you know, come to my surprise, there's certain people that even though they have like really high income, their student can get to Harvard, Yale, or this prestige college for very little. And it's all about because they have a certain association and because of their how they package themselves and to get pretty much the maximum benefit. So, I mean, that's part of what we do. And we help students prepare a plan and package themselves and help them kind of like negotiate for the maximum benefit.
Okay, so I want you to probe a little bit. I want to probe a little bit further into that so that our listeners can have a better idea of, you know, how the process works. Not necessarily, and if possible, what they could do in order to pursue that angle. As far as the 95% of the other aid that's available, you're saying that that's available at the colleges, and that's depending on packaging of the students. Now, when you say that, are you talking about grade point averages like the GPAs? What are the qualifications that these colleges are looking at in order to relieve this funding?
Correct. Well, part of packaging is consists of several things. It consists of GPA, test score, the student accomplishment, the student community service, the association that the student have with the school. For example, let's say their parent have gone to that particular school before, so that they take that in consideration, and also career goal. The mistake that I see most family make is that the real secret is packaging that, right? So if you look at the colleges, they kind of like a business. It looks like, let's say, they're kind of like an employer, and their job is to hire the best employee, right? So they have a certain profile criteria. So the college have a certain type of profile of type of student that they're looking for. Right, and it's a combination of the GPA, career goal, and all that in the combination. So different colleges have different criteria. So the secret is it packaging yourself because, first of all, they don't know who you are. They don't know who the student are, right? So if you package yourself, and that's why it's important to plan early. When you plan early, as young as, you know, sixth grade, you can package yourself, meaning like it's a combination of GPA, you can get letter recommendation from the teacher, you get your community service hour in. So all that combined, and you document all that. And so, and then at the same time, you know, some of the colleges that you kind of like interested in, you can send a letter ahead of time to let them know your interest. And when you do that, they kind of scoop you out. And what they do when by the time they receive your application, they see, oh, my God, this student is very consistent, right? And they see like an overall, because remember, the college want to recruit a good, ideal student that would represent their college, you know, when they graduate and they can be proud of. So they want to see the consistency throughout the year, not, you know, suddenly junior or senior year, they start taking all these classes and extra activity and stuff. So if, when you have that package throughout the year, they're more likely to give you the funding. So that's number one secret, is package yourself. The second secret is knowing which college is looking for that student. So that's part of what we do is we take the student profile and we match it with over 5,500 colleges that in our database that we know that looking for that type of student, and then we match them. So that's why we give the student usually normally 20 to 30 college for them to apply, and we know those are the college that are willing to give the student money.
I see. So there are a couple questions that came out of what you're saying. The first one you started to address a little bit. And you started talking about some of the things that students can do right now in order to package themselves early. And you talk about them being consistent instead of waiting until the senior year to start looking good. So what are some advice and tips that you can provide to parents right now so they can begin to work with their students to help them to be ready when it comes to time for them to go to college? We know being consistent with the grades. We talk about joining community services, projects, you know, all of that. What are some other things they could do?
Yes, you know, college, remember, college, they want a very well-rounded student. So extracurricular activity, volunteer work activity in the community, make sure you document that and make sure you get letter recommendation. So for my son, for example, he's last year he's a freshman in high school. He was taking this advanced English class, and he didn't do well in it in the beginning, and then but the teacher didn't let him quit. The teacher didn't let him go back to, you know, the normal average English. The teacher actually pushed him, make him stay there. So he actually stayed and do some extra credit and get some extra tutor from her. So as the result, he grown and he actually get a great letter recommendation from her. So that can be used toward the college planning. And at the same time, last year, you know, instead of stay home, do nothing, play game, my wife actually brought my son to the medical office where she work at. So he got some internship hours in, and through that process, not only he get a letter of recommendation from the doctor, he get document internship hours. He learned valuable life skill. You know, he learned how to be socialized. He learned some skill, clinical skill at the office, the overall, and he also learned the value of money. He's actually got a little pay, and at the same time, he appreciated my wife, how hard she worked, and through the process, he learning transition to be an adult, a good human being. And that, you know, I believe that all my job as a parent is to ensure my kid to be a good human being, to help them pursue their dream. And one of the main reason why I'm kind of passionate about this because, you know, I believe that every child has a dream and every dream has a price. And I find out over and over every year I pull out a newspaper and I say, oh, my God, all these students, they graduate, they end up with a ton of student loan debt, hundreds of thousands of dollars student loan debt, and they didn't even get a job. So that make me think, I go, oh, my God, if I help family prepare ahead, prepare for college and get money that they didn't have to pay back from scholarship endowment fund from the college itself, then by the time they graduate, they don't have to worry about, you know, making payment, you know, half of their wages going through the student loan debt, and they end up paying 20 to 30 years, you know, become a financial slave for some financial institution.
Yes, and that is a huge problem in our country today. The student loan debts with our students graduating from college with debts more than their annual income. And that certainly eats away at the money that they bring in every month and causing a significant amount of frustration. So, Charles, you talked about earlier that you have colleges. You would supply probably 20 to 30 colleges for students to apply to with certain profiles. Can you just give a brief explanation of how that works if someone were interested in that?
Yes. You know, Otis College have a lot of money, depending on college. Like, I was reading up, there's a whole report that they have money is sitting there. So, but the thing is, they're not going to advertise that, come to our school, we're going to give you all this money. Right? And you know where all those money coming from? Do you ever get a call from the college that you graduate soliciting for funding and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I still get called once in a while and say, hey, would you support, you one of the alumni, would you support us and stuff? So that's how they get the money. So and they require that they have to, you know, give us amount of money away, otherwise they can be taxed by the IRS. So they have all this money sitting out there. So when we match it, the student to 20 to 30 colleges, we want them to apply. So when they apply and they follow the guideline, and we show the student also how to ask for all the type of funding available at that particular college and apply for it. Because some of the funding or scholarship available is like first come, first serve. You know, you don't have to be special to qualify. Sometimes it's just knowing how to ask, you get it. Right? Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is get a bunch of offers from a bunch of different colleges. The reason why you want to do that is now you can position yourself to create kind of like a competitive bid against each other, each colleges, so you can get more money. Have you ever seen that movie, The Blind Side?
No.
So the movie Blind Side about this black football player, he was raised by this white family. And there is this one scene in there that the brother took a video of his brother, you know, that played football, and he sent it to a bunch of colleges, right? And next thing you know, there's a bunch of college want to recruit the football player. So in the living room, the brother was helping negotiate for each of the college. And for example, they say, hey, this college paying me this tuition, room and board, what are you going to give us, right? And one by one, he actually negotiated. By negotiating, they actually end up with more money. So that's what we want to position the student, is that when they get a bunch of offer from different colleges, now the second step is the student have a choice. Right, the student have a choice: either go to the college that they really wanted, that provide them the most funding and the least money out of pocket, or they might go to the one that, you know, that ideally that's what the student really want, but might not give that much funding. So you can actually use the award letter from other college to negotiate with the college that you really wanted to go. So in that, we find out that the student usually end up 2 to 3 times more than the original offer they received.
Okay, awesome. So I want to go back and summarize a little bit before moving forward, because we're running short of time here. We talked about the ways to fund college. We know there are grants out there. We know student loans, which are not the desirable thing. And we're hearing about funding that are available through colleges. Then there are specialized grants that are sometimes available as well out on the Internet, where people can apply for and get the funding that they need. Now, if a student is already in college, mm-hmm. are any of these resources still available to students who have already started college without that resource?
Well, let's say the student already gone to the college of their choice that they really want to go, but they don't get that much funding. We still go to the similar process to help the student apply to other colleges that looking for that student, and go to the process of getting those offers from other college and use those offers and go back to their current college and negotiate. And pretty much we teach the student to negotiate, you know, telling the college, hey, we love to stay here. We love to go to your school. But, you know, you're not giving that much for us funding, and we can't afford to pay. You know, I know that you don't want to lose us as your student. Here are the different offers from other college that willing to give the student the money. So remember, the college, they in business to have good students, so they don't want to lose that student to other competitor. So most likely they want to give more money or to the student, offer funding to the student. You need the leverage that the offer that you get from the other colleges to show that, you know, you are a valuable student.
So in terms of the final question or allowance for comment, Charles, is what would you say to the parents who do not have students with a higher level of GPA? Are you saying that there is no hope for them? And if so, what are their recourse? They may not have a 4.0 GPA or 4.95. They may have a 2.0. What is available for them?
Well, there's other colleges that actually, there's 50% of college actually doesn't really look at the GPA. Because, you know, they realize that, you know, grade is one thing, but, you know, somebody, you know, who have a special interest, they might not be good in math, right? But they might be good in art. So that doesn't really reflect on the GPA. So that's why it's important to document the student accomplishment and knowing which college that looking for that student with, you know, with their achievement and with their career goal, because not all students have, you know, high grade point average, but they still can qualify. Yeah, and we help students get money as low as having a 2.0 GPA.
Excellent. So what are some final words that you have to say to our listeners today in terms of the college planning and funding? Take about 30 seconds.
Sure. One of the final words is that I don't think all the students are college material. I think it's more important for the student to fulfill their dream, and college is only one vehicle, because one of the mistakes I see is like students get a degree because their parents want them to, and they end up doing nothing with degree and end up with a couple hundred thousand dollars student loan debt, and now they have resentment against their parents. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so thank you, and that is a really great observation. In fact, I won't even go there much, but we know college education is great. It helps us to think clearly, and there are a lot of people who are not even operating in their area of expertise for which they were trained at the universities and colleges and who are doing very well. So we encourage children to go to college. We encourage them to have a great education. We also encourage them to follow their passion and their dream. And if it's not getting a bachelor's degree and it is going into another field of practice that doesn't require a bachelor's degree, then we do encourage them to go that route as well. And, Charles, what is some contact detail that you want to provide for our listeners so that they can get a hold of you to find out more about what you have to say and offer about the college funding?
Yes, they can log on to moneyforcollegenow.com. There's a presentation there that they can watch, finding more information. And for those who go and watch it and enter in their information, I actually can send them a free college planning guide and also give them also a chance to opt in to take a SAT preparation class. I think that's value over $600, so they can have access to that as well.
And is that for free or is that at a cost?
That's for free.
Okay, excellent. So that's moneyforcollegenow.com.
Yes, and my phone number is 949-716-9002.
Okay. Thank you so much, Charles Nguyen, for joining us again on the Dr. Gwen Show. And to our dear listeners, we will see you next time.